Before Neville shares an introduction on Luke chapters 12 through 24, I would just like us to bow our heads and we'll just say a quick prayer for her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering and for the gift of connection among women who seek your wisdom. We pray your blessing over Neville. May her words be filled with truth, grace, and encouragement. Open our hearts and minds to receive what you want us to hear. And let this time strengthen our faith, deepen our unity, and bring you glory in every word spoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. What a beautiful group you are. Yes? Hello? Are you there?
I'm going to move the bell.
Because I know that'll go flying across the room as I speak. But anyway, Happy New Year and welcome. And to those that are new with us this semester, we are so glad you are here and have come to join us. It is such a joy to be back to resume our study of Luke. Breaks are wonderful, aren't they? But routine seems to bring a sense of stability. And for us, the women of the Word, part of our routine is Bible study, right? So as I plan the welcome back message, rather than doing a quick review of Luke or a quick overview of what we're going to study this semester, I decided to ask you a question. Why have we chosen to make Bible study part of our routine? Why? Wow. I want you to take a moment and think about that. Why are you here? What thoughts come to your mind? I'll give you 2 seconds. Okay. So let me ask you. You do not have to raise your hand, but you may if you'd like. How many of you, as you were thinking about why you were here, began to know? I've come to know. Anybody? So what if that was your thought? I want to know. What do we want to know? Well, I think we come here to know God and know about His Word. And so I thought I would begin with some scripture and what it says specifically about to know. Exodus 33, the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. This indicates a personal chosen relationship of God with his people. In Hosea 6, God declares, For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This knowledge is not merely intellectual, but involves a heartfelt commitment to God's ways. In John 17, Jesus prays, Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This knowledge is rooted in a personal relationship with God through Christ, and it transforms and it brings salvation. In Philippians 3, Paul expresses his desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to him in his death. This knowledge involves both understanding and experiencing the life and sufferings of Christ. Paul frequently wrote of knowing Christ as the ultimate goal of the believer's life. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, But the one who loves God is known by God. This suggests that true knowledge is of God is reciprocal, and it's rooted in love. And finally, in 1 John 2, it is written, "By this we can be sure that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. For whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Thus knowing God is evidenced by a life that reflects his character and commands." And so we see that the biblical concept of knowing God is foundational to the Christian faith. It implies a relationship that is both initiated and sustained by God's grace. Knowing God is central to the believer's relationship with God and is reflected in a life of faith, love, and obedience. The call to know God is an invitation to a lifelong journey of faith and discipleship, which involves studying scripture, prayer, and living in community with other believers. This is Bible study. This is why we are here, the women of the Word. And so to know is the why of the Bible, of the WOW Bible study. But now I want us to think about how. How do we go about studying his word so that we know what we know? As J.I. Packer writes, the words of Scripture are words of God bearing witness of himself. The word of God and the word of God and the God of the word are inseparable. And so when we open our Bibles, we come into his presence. As Montier describes it, when we are in God's word, we have entered his classroom. And I love that, being a classroom teacher. I love that because there were always certain things when my students came into my class that I expected them to come with. I expected them to come in the old days with pen and pencil. Today, it would be a laptop, right? But I expected them to come with those things. And I hoped that they would come with a positive attitude, ready to learn. Studying the Bible as we enter God's classroom is like Moses standing in front of the burning bush. Do we realize we're on holy ground when we open his word? And so I think there are three ways we need to arrive and begin and study God's word. We need to study it prayerfully. We need to study it patiently. And we need to study it purposefully. Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And so as we approach God's word prayerfully, we ask him to satisfy that restless heart with his steadfast love. In preparing this message, I came across an acronym that John Piper had used or uses for preparing his heart when he starts to read scripture. He uses the letters I-O-U-S, which are the letters that are added to words, and it means full of. But his acronym starts with I. It comes from Psalm 119, verse 36. And he's asked the Lord to incline his heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. The O comes also from Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And the U, Psalm 86, unite my heart to fear your name. And the S, Psalm 90. Satisfy me in the morning with your steadfast love. Four words. Incline, open, unite, satisfy. Very prayerful words to prepare our hearts to commune with our Heavenly Father. After prayerfully entering God's classroom, we open His Word and begin to study it patiently. Maltier also explains that God's Word is precious, and so it is like searching for gold. Now, gold does not fall into one's lap. It has to be panned from rivers, mined from rocks. It has to be searched with care. Likewise, our Bible reading should not be superficial or hurried. For when our Bible reading and study turns into just looking for answers in our little book, then it's like being where gold can be found, but leaving without any treasure in our hands. Another aspect of arriving and studying patiently is to remember that God's word is light. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And just as our eyes need times to adjust as we move from a dark room to a one end with light, we need time to let the light of God's word penetrate into our minds and our hearts so that we patiently study God's word. And as we do, His truth will begin to transform us. It takes time. And so we must take time to linger in God's word, searching for those gold nuggets, adjusting our eyes to the light so that our soul is brightened, and allowing His word to transform our hearts and our minds through the power of His Holy Spirit. And finally, our prayerful entry and our patient study will lead to our purposefully abiding in Christ. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Are you joyful? Are we joyful when we get to study His Word and go into His presence? Do we know how powerful His Word is? That's why we're here. We are here. So why do we study the Bible? We study the Bible to know God. How do we study the Bible? We enter God's classroom prayerfully, patiently, and purposefully, allowing God is the teacher, allowing Him to teach us what He knows we need. And I want to end now with one more question. And it's one which challenged me as I was working on this earlier in the month. I was going through and thinking, you know, what does the Lord want me to say? And He said, well, how about this question? And so it really convicted me, and so I'm going to share it with you. Here goes. If our phones were taken from us for 24 hours, what difference would that make in our day? Can you imagine? Now, Yeah. What if our Bibles were taken away for 24 hours? What difference would that make in our day? Perhaps there are some adjustments we might need to make in this brand new year, 2026. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much that you love us so dearly. You will not let us get by. You don't want us to be satisfied with just reading your word. You want to meet us there. You want to teach us. And so, Lord, I pray that this year, as we begin our new Bible study, that we will approach your word with such expectation, knowing that when we open it, you are there. You are speaking to us, and your words have power. Oh, Lord, through this study this year, so will we be transformed into the people you have created us to be. For we ask this in Jesus' strong and holy name. Amen.